It's a no yawning zone, Matt. All yawns must be done before 5:55 and after 9 a.m.
I should have gotten kicked out like 6 months ago then.
See? Welcome into the drive, Dave, Katie.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
What's the look on your face? What is that?
I was trying to come up with a snarky line for Matt. Matt George for a limited time only, 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. I mean, we can talk about it. That's fine. We love Matt, and Matt is a sellout and has decided to, you know, take care of his family and self. So at some point, as I understand it, next week, maybe the week after, we'll be losing Matt George, but the traffic department will be gaining a Matt George.
And he will be gaining a full-time job with benefits,
yes.
So I cannot.
Praise Jesus.
Yes, yes, that is
That's the story here. So, you know.
It's not that he hates us, is it?
Unconfirmed. Unconfirmed.
Dave's trying to wean himself off me by insulting me and putting me down like a dead dog.
Yes, and that's the thing. It's like a breakup, right? You make it, you're as mean as possible.
Except I'm clingy, so I'll keep texting him afterwards.
It's like in the book, The Yearling, where he befriended the fawn when its mother was shot, and the fawn was, you know, became his friend and his, I don't want to say pet, because Matt's not my pet, but you get the idea, they were friends.
I mean.
And then, I know. And then it turned out where the fawn had, they had to get rid of the fawn, because somebody else was going to shoot it if it hung around the house. It was a deer now. It had grown. So he kept telling the fawn to go away, and the fawn would come back thinking he was playing. So he finally had to, like, beat the hell out of the fawn and make believe.
Aww.
Like, this kid was crying while he was beating the fawn, like, go away, go away.
So you're trying to tell me if I stick around, Pat and Tom are going to shoot me?
Yes.
Yes, that's what he's saying.
That's exactly what it is. So, you know, so we'll...
The most Tom will do is throw a fishing lure your way.
Have his duck come after me.
Yeah,
so if you have an interest in board-opping a mediocre morning show for little to no pay whatsoever, just...
it's fun.
Email the station. I mean, pretty soon we're going to be down at, like, the car wash, job fairs, just trolling.
Yeah.
Next week will be fun.
I'm not going that far. I'm going across the hall.
Well, you might as well be going to Europe for all the good it's going to do us.
And you're not going to be here in the mornings. You're going to be here in the afternoon.
I know. I can just sleep.
Exactly. So, you know,
we'll basically never see you again.
Yeah,
That's not true.
When are we going to see you?
I'll be at your, like, front door just scratching.
Station events. Next week will be interesting.
Boom box outside your window.
Katie's gone. She's going on a trip with her her chick friends.
My girlfriend. Don't be jealous because I have friends that are not you.
Not jealous.
Yes, you are.
Just not going. You know, so you'll be in the Bahamas and
I'm gonna be in the Caymans.
Yeah,
so
isn't that the same? Isn't that part of the Bahamas?
I don't think so. It's
sure?
the Cayman
Islands.
You also
thought spiders weren't a part of the animal kingdom. So there's, you know, there's Katie logic and then there's real world logic. I have to question it. I think the Caymans are part of the Bahamas. Either way, you'll be on some sunny beach.
I don't even care. I haven't done a single thing to plan this trip. It has all been, the flights were booked and paid for by somebody else.
Wow.
It's a nice gift.
Wow.
And I would like to think that I'm pretty good to my friends, though. So I think this is all, you know.
Except for a lot of free cheese.
Everything comes back around. It's a timeshare of one of my friends. So I think I rented the car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Don't deal with the car, lady.
I'm providing floaties for everybody.
Okay.
Like, you know, so we can float around in the ocean or the lazy river or whatever.
The lazy river?
Yeah.
Is there a lazy river?
I think so. I don't know.
Just like a general Cayman Island lazy river?
Well, most resorts have some kind of pool, lazy river.
So it's a timeshare at a resort.
Yeah.
Okay. Cayman's very expensive. Cayman Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there in February. It's all very clean and very banky. There's banks. Ton of banks.
Mm.
It's, you know,
isn't that where people hide their money?
That's exactly where people, that in Sweden,
people
or Switzerland,
that have
or wherever.
Money hide
right,
their
exactly.
money.
Yeah, we
so
I don't
I
like
will not be
money.
Going to any of the banks
no.
to withdraw.
I like my money in full view where I can see it.
In a mason jar.
I'm not going to go to the Caymans, but I have a deposit. It's $12.50. Take care of this, bud. So she's
I'm hiding it from the government.
She's gone, and then we're probably going to be training some new completely underqualified board op. And some of you might think, well, board op, what's the big deal? Well, the board op's the guy who runs the whole freaking show. Board op's the guy that makes sure, you know, exactly. That's
sorry.
The board op. He's the guy back there that makes sure the sounders fire wrong, the wrong music comes back, the phone calls don't get answered. That's what the board guy does. And, of course, Matt's so much more than just that.
He books his guests. He does all kinds of stuff.
He'll pop in every once in a while with, you know, something to say.
You know we're next, right?
Are you kidding me? Our time came up a while. This is all it's what's called house money, Katie, at this point, what we're on.
I liken it to the ship has sunk.
Yes.
It's the Titanic. We're hanging to one piece of driftwood.
We're just stealing money at this point. And that's why I'm stealing all
which
I
one's
can.
Jack and which one's Rose?
I'm probably Rose.
He's Rose for sure.
Except Katie's pushing you off.
Right.
Save yourself.
Like, yeah, it's called yuck. Go away. My heart will go on with somebody else. So she's gone, and as much as I love me some me, I got to think of you guys. So we're going to have some fun next week. I can't name everybody yet, but I can tell you confirmed. I'm going to have a bevy of guest hosts come in the 8 o'clock hour all next week just to visit and hang out. It's summertime. Nothing's really going on. So make sure you listen till 9 o'clock. We got a huge show for you. So Monday, the father of Sacramento Kings basketball, Greg Lukenbill, is going to come on.
That's
he's
sweet.
On at 8, and he's going to – we're all just – it's not going to be like they're going to come in and we're going to do a normal show. Everyone's coming in. We're just going to spin stories and BS and whatever. And Greg Lukenbill – I'll ask him literally like two questions. And Greg will take the whole hour and just blow everyone's mind, somehow tying the Kings to Abraham Lincoln, to the Pony Express – to the history of Sacramento. The guy's an encyclopedia, and it will be fun. That'll be a fun Monday. On Tuesday, I can give you one of the guys I'm bringing in, Pierre Nugent from ABC 10, former KHDKer, the sports guy over there. He's coming in, and I think we're going to get one other dude to join him as well, a name you guys all know. Wednesday, the local rock band Nagel & Oates is going to join us. That's Republic FC owner and Kings minority owner Kevin Nagel and also fellow Kings minority owner Phil Oates. They'll both come in. And, again, just be telling a lot of stories, having a lot of fun with them. Thursday I'm very excited about, which is sucky for me to say because it makes it sound like I'm not excited about the other 3 days. But Thursday, Scott Moak, your PA announcer for the Sacramento Kings, he's going to come in. Mm-hmm. Gary Gerald, the only radio voice the Kings have ever known.
Yeah,
he's going to join us. And I got, again, I can't say because I haven't confirmed, but I got one other guy from the same mold I'm just waiting to hear back from. Mm. He's in the same age group as Gary, not the same age group as Scott Moak.
He spends a lot of his time in the off season in Tahoe.
Yes.
Are you trying to get him off the mountain?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. See, it's already starting, Matt, from the 916. I've heard Dave is difficult to work with.
Confirmed, he beats me.
Absolutely. I'm horrible to work with. Yeah, I'm a tyrant.
I'm going to come back on Monday, and you're going to be gone.
Yeah, I'm going to be gone Monday. I'll be in Los Angeles that weekend. And then I just found out yesterday, due to a scheduling change, I'm going to be gone next Friday, too.
If they let you.
If they let me. And that's the thing. The bosses don't know anything about this. It's
you
a
just
surprise.
Found out about it, yeah.
I just found out about it late last night. So hopefully I'll be able to get a – see, Matt, there you go. You'll be gone for like 2 days at that point. You probably could have hosted the morning show all by yourself on Friday. Huge opportunity.
Well –
completely wasted for you.
And that's the poopy thing, because if Matt is indeed gone by the time I get back, Matt and I normally do the show together when you're gone. So I'm going to start working today. Just decided on this about 20 minutes ago. Two former athletes, pro athletes that live here locally. I'm going to try and get both of them, but hopefully one of them on with me on Monday.
You know they're both out of town Monday. They're actually both out of town next weekend.
Shut up. You don't know.
They're at a...
You don't do their schedules.
Tournament for the charity.
Yeah, for the charity.
The
only problem with this is getting former athletes up and into a station by 6 a.m.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Yeah, that's my problem.
That's why I'm doing all of my guests at 8
a.m. I'm taking applications for people that would like to co-host a show
with
me on Monday, August 14th.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't open those floodgates. Hey, Katie, I can host. What are you wearing, Katie?
Eric from Sacramento.
Yeah, exactly. He'll
That's
be
where
right
you
in.
Would need security.
My
you
Lord.
Know I'm still available to come in every now and then.
No, you
just
can't.
Just a phone call away.
Nope, you can't cherry pick. You can't be like, oh, I'm doing traffic, but if there's a good opportunity, I'm going to come in and hang out. No.
If you need me.
It's all or nothing.
Thank you for being a sweetheart, Matt.
People requesting an A's / Raider fan in the morning.
Mm.
Well, that's Matt. Yeah, exactly.
That is Matt.
Just listen to me yell across the hall.
Shockingly, Oakland fan is chasing the money, so we're losing him in the morning.
Dang right, because they all have it in San Francisco.
If you were a Giants or Niners fan, you wouldn't be doing that. By the way, Giants have a chance to tie the season series, A's to win the season series today. Whatever.
We
is in French for yes.
We as in yay.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, that's really all anyone cares about.
We both suck.
Yeah, we're both so terrible. Hey, we might win the season series. That'd be awesome. And Katie, you had a blah yesterday you didn't bring up, which is very disappointing. And we have, we're pretty much out of time. But we
do. You like it really quick?
Yeah, please.
So two nights ago, I was having dinner with my boyfriend. Yes, people, save the text.
Yeah,
the
not,
to
not
yourself.
Quick enough so far.
And he asked me,
pace.
I'm trying to remember exactly. You just literally took up the whole blah.
I know, you didn't interrupt
me.
So
we'll do it another day then, Dave.
Well, now you just teased everybody.
I believe the question was something about what do you think, talking about potentially moving in together. What do you think the potential problems could be?
Well, we can start with how long you guys been dating.
That's nobody's business.
What? That's not public? You've mentioned it.
Like 4 months.
4 months. Is that too soon?
It's not like we're moving in together tomorrow.
Okay.
But looking ahead at what could potentially be the problems. And I said, well, what do you think could potentially be the problems? He goes, well, I think you're stubborn and set in your ways.
Nailed it.
100%.
And I was like, Katie, don't react. Don't give him anything to go on here. And I was just like, well, why do you think that? I think, you just do things. When you live by yourself, you just do things a certain way. And you're very stubborn. I was like, what makes you say that, honey?
What makes
As
you
I'm
say
getting,
that?
Like, the butcher knife out of the
right.
knife block.
And we're all guilty of this. I won't pick on you, but you're definitely one of those people that's kind of like oblivious to how you are. So someone would say that, you're like, no, there's no way.
Here's my only defense.
Here's why.
The set in my ways part, it's because I've been living by myself for a really long time.
Well, yeah, but see, that's the thing.
So it's not like I look at it as I'm not necessarily set in my ways. I've just been doing things for a long time. And hey, I lived with Desi for over a year.
You
can't tell me that I can't live with my boyfriend and make it much better.
What are you saying? Living with Desi was horrible?
No, I'm just saying.
Wow,
if I can
shots
live with,
fired. I've had
roommates.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a couple roommates.
There's
over the
a
years.
Difference when you're sharing a bed and sharing a house, when you're cohabitating.
The sharing the bed part is fantastic.
Yeah, wow.
Did your dogs hear your boyfriend say that and then run for cover?
Exactly.
They actually like him more.
Well,
it's
he has,
very
yeah,
disappointing.
Guess what? He hasn't moved in yet. Next thing you know, the shoes will be chewed. They got to mark their territory.
Laying,
yeah, from the 916.
Laying the groundwork.
916, too soon, Katie.
Too soon.
People are weighing in.
I'm not saying we're moving in. And you know what? Screw all you guys. It's my life. I'll do what I want.
All right. Well, you know, we all care. So you guys are having marriage conversations too, right? By the same logic.
We'll be back in 3 minutes. That's none of your business.
We're right back 3 minutes from now. Let's see. Chris McClain of the Silver and Black Report is going to come on, talk about the Raiders. Big MLS news yesterday out in Chicago. Ben Gumpert will join us at 8:30 to update us on Sacramento's chances for big-time Major League Soccer. Back in three. Sports 1140 KHDK. A bunch of my Raider fan friends who happen to hold season tickets have been getting their tickets over the last day or two. And it started to get out really yesterday morning that, you know, when ball clubs send out season tickets, they'll usually include a gift or a small gift, you know, a commemorative book, a scarf.
Like last year with the Kings, we got the cowbell.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Raiders sent out a bunch of pins, and one of the pins said loyalty on it. It's interesting. With training camp here, I realized when I was reading the story, Katie, We've been talking about Raider training camp, the battle at middle linebacker, and Gary and Conley, and all the day-to-day.
Football. On-field stuff.
We aren't even really talking about, nor do I think I personally have much of an interest in talking about yet, the fact that it's just going to be a weird-ass year knowing that this team is leaving. And they throw out loyalty pins, of which...
I don't know that it's going to be weird in the sense... I think it would be worse if the team were not good.
Sure.
You know,
of course.
I think there's two things they have in their favor that's going to help with the weirdness effect. The fact that they're very good and have high expectations, and that Marshawn Lynch is a Raider. And that is a huge feather in their cap in terms of the fan base. But, you know, Dave, we've talked to a lot of fans, and they've weighed in, they've called, they've been on the text line since this news that the team's going to relocate to Vegas has come out. And it seems to me like the majority of fans are supportive of this. It's like, oh, well, you know, we get to go to Vegas, you know, and see a game. Who doesn't want to go to Vegas? It's not like, you know, baseball or basketball where there's multiple games a week. I mean, when you look at the Raiders' schedule, there's, you know, they're on the road. They're you might have 2 weeks in a row where you can go to Vegas if you want. It's just a little bit different, I think, and it lessens the blow.
I still ain't buying it. Not buying. I'm not saying everybody.
And you're
feels,
pissed about the loyalty pin.
I just, you know, it's a little bit tone deaf. Hey, loyalty pin for a team that's leaving.
I think what they're saying is, you know, our fans are loyal regardless of where we are, and we appreciate that.
But
thank
only
you.
The ones that give him over $1,000 a year for
right.
season tickets.
You guys are loyal. It'll be interesting as the season goes on whether they're good or whether they're not good to see as far as protests and. There's anything going on. I kind of get a feeling as we get closer to them leaving over the next year or perhaps 2 years, that's where we're going to see some of the.
I think it's a little far off yet.
I feel the opposite, though. I feel like once football starts, people aren't really going to care because football's back, and that's what matters is the team itself. It's the no football right now, so we can just sit here and brood over the fact that you're a rich man taking away what I love.
I think it's if they win a Super Bowl before they leave, that's when things are going to get sticky.
Be interesting to find out.
That's Scottie Pippen talking about Kobe and LeBron and the comparisons. But Michael Jordan, who's having his elite camp in Santa Barbara.
Flight school.
Yeah, he's getting loose. He's answering questions. And this is what we all love is when Michael Jordan dares answer the question of who's better, Kobe or LeBron. And he gave the edge to, I'm not shocked at this either, he gave it to Kobe. First of all, I'm not shocked because Kobe's career is over. LeBron's isn't. So that's an incomplete body of work in that sense. And he's saying right now, 5 is better than 3. Obviously, Kobe has 5 titles. LeBron only has 3. But when you look at some other stuff, I mean, you have to be able to make an argument for it. I don't like the comparison of stats because LeBron's career average is like 27 points and Kobe's is like 25, but I think LeBron's will go down as he ages. You know, that's a couple points. It's no big deal. But the difference to me is that LeBron already has 4 regular season MVP awards and 3 NBA MVP awards in terms of the finals, where Kobe has 1 and 2. He's been the finals MVP twice, and he's been the MVP of the league that at least once. You know what I mean? There's a difference there.
There is a difference there.
You can make an argument as to where, okay, well, right now, LeBron actually is better than Kobe.
I think he is.
But it's an incomplete body of work. I don't see how you can make the comparison.
But I get it. Well, I mean, I think you can surpass somebody while you're still playing. I mean, I think there's 99%, if not 100% of NFL quarterbacks have already been passed by a 40-year-old who's still playing today. I think you can do that.
But it doesn't shock me that that's his answer because it's not a complete body of work. And I think a lot of former players actually think this way. They think in terms of titles. And so for him, Michael, who has 6 to his name, you've got LeBron with 3 and Kobe with 5. So he's like, yeah, I'm giving the edge to Kobe.
Well, then Robert Horry's better than both of them.
Yeah.
You know, that's
Bill Russell.
That's an old conversation. I'm sure we'll revisit that at 6:48. But yeah, exactly. If you're saying LeBron is behind Kobe due to titles, I mean, LeBron also didn't have Shaquille O'Neal for, you know, a while.
But it's not like he hasn't.
True.
Been
no, he just had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
That's the thing.
You think that's as good as Shaq?
LeBron's titles have been 3 big players at least, all of them. When you look at Michael and you look at Kobe, there was 2. there was really two elite level players on those teams.
Michael with Scottie Pippen, yeah.
And then there was a bunch of role players intermittently.
True.
But it's not the same as Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade or Kyrie
Rodman.
And Kevin Love. And
Dennis Rodman. Let's not forget. People forget Dennis Rodman.
I don't forget
Rodman.
Dennis.
I mean, Dennis is a Hall of Famer. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is Dennis Rodman a Hall of Famer?
I don't know if he's in. I don't think he's in the
Hall
of Fame.
He's not a Hall of Famer. He should be.
But he's such a weird player in the sense that the type of thing that he brought to the table isn't really stat-oriented. It wasn't scoring. You know, he did all the other things, which people that watch those teams understand his importance. But when people go back retroactively and look at stats, it's like, meh.
Dennis Rodman is a Hall of Famer.
He is, huh?
I don't think it's the total rings that matter either. I think it's being the guy on the team that won the ring multiple times. Hmm. So on all the rings Kobe won, he was the guy.
Yeah, but so was LeBron.
Wait, of all the rings Kobe won, Kobe was the guy?
I would say so.
Over Shaq?
I think so.
No.
Yeah, that's a debate. That's a debate.
No, it's not.
He can think that if he wants
to. Well, I know he can, but I don't think... Really? You didn't just slip on that? I'm asking.
No, I honestly
really
think Kobe was... Kobe's been the face of the Lakers. I think people would associate Kobe
He's
more with
the
Shaq
franchise.
Than that, or with that franchise as their leader.
I think as, okay, we'll get back to that at 6:48. Number three. There we go.
Are you going to sing happy birthday?
Maybe. Well, that's Tom Brady.
He's 40 today.
40 years old. The New England Patriots put out on Twitter. They said we brought a couple of, We brought a couple of Tom Brady's friends with us, and it was a bunch of...
Oh, was Trump there?
It was a bunch of goats dressed in Brady jerseys.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
The greatest quarterback to ever play the game turns 40 today, and he's still going strong.
It is really actually very amazing. Football's a brutal sport as it is, but to stay at that level and to... And it's funny, he said being around a bunch of 20-year-olds makes him feel young. See, that's the exact opposite for me. Being around a bunch of 20-year-olds makes me feel like an old lady. Because
really?
I'm like, these people are so young and so ignorant, and I'm just, yeah.
That's true.
Old.
I don't find myself feeling younger
that generation
around these people.
Especially is like, oh, they're Snapchatting and they're Instagramming and Facebook Living. And, like, I really only use that stuff because I'm forced to for work.
I will give Darren Revelle credit for this. Gio Carmozzi was taken 134 picks before Tom Brady in 2000. He never played a game, and he's currently a goat farmer. And Gio Carmozzi, by the way.
Did he supply the goats?
He might have, as a matter of fact. That's Jesuits. Jesuit high schools, Gio Carmozzi.
There you go.
Come here. Matt's giving me the shrug. That's 2000. How old were you in 2000? Like four?
Six.
Six.
Oh.
Yeah, played a Jesuit. Oh. His dad is a coach over there. Anyways, Sacramento connection. We'll take a break. Chris McClain of the Silver and Black. We're going to get a Raiders camp report at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Ben Gumper to the Republic, fresh back from Chicago.
Raiders.
He'll stop in for a few minutes at 8:30. Coming up next, hey, happy birthday, Tom Brady. And maybe we'll get back. Maybe we'll flip-flop here. Matt George made a very controversial comment earlier. Maybe it's only controversial to me. Ranking Kobe ahead of Shaquille O'Neal on those teams. We'll get into, you know, this is all stemming from Michael Jordan saying.
Better be careful. He's going to do a diss track on you.
He's got a, who, Shaq or me?
Shaq.
We'll take a break. It's The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. It's an impossible argument to have ranking players. It really is. It's like having an MVP conversation. Michael Jordan said yesterday he'd put Kobe ahead of LeBron 5 rings to 3. And listen, it's Michael freaking Jordan. When he talks, you listen. He's the greatest. But then talking about what Kobe had versus what LeBron had, do you give Kobe more credit because he scored more, was more dominant? LeBron, who tends to involve everybody.
I think it's also difficult in the sense that from the time Kobe came in the league to now, the game has changed. So it's the same conversation with where the league was when Michael was in it to now. Comparisons from different generations, different eras is really, really difficult to me. And it's the same thing. And we're going to talk about it later. Howie Long and some other, you know, Hall of Fame Raiders players, Pro Bowlers, they sat down with ESPN and all answered questions about Khalil Mack and what type of a player is. If they could compare themselves to him. And it's difficult to me to compare generations and say, oh, well, you know, we were the same or we were better. It just doesn't work for me.
I'll try to amend, Matt, unless you want to die on that hill, your argument, what you were saying. I personally don't think it's even a debate that those Laker teams from 2000 to 2002, when they won three straight, those were Shaq's teams. Shaq was Batman and Kobe was Robin. It was so important to Kobe to win a title without Shaq, and he got two.
Can a Robin average nearly 30 points a game?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a hell of a Robin.
It is. Hey, don't get me wrong. Arguably the greatest duo to ever play the game. And I say that with a capital arguably. There's plenty of arguments there.
A capital?
But you're talking about Shaquille O'Neal, who, if memory serves correct, I'm pretty sure he was MVP of all three. He was the MVP of all three. And again, that can be subjective too.
And I wasn't aware of that.
But
Kobe averaged more points than Shaq in two out of those 3 years.
If you're going by straight points, fine. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's the leadership.
The crazy thing about this conversation is neither one of them would have won without the other.
I agree with you there. And then you make the same argument. You know, that was Jordan Pippen. You know, you had Kobe and Shaq. Well, who's LeBron's? I mean, was it LeBron Wade and then LeBron Kyrie? I mean, that's what we're saying, right? Who's LeBron's Pippen, who's LeBron's Kobe or Shaq, whichever way you want to put it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Sherwin, welcome in early on the drive.
Hey, I can't believe you guys do this every morning. I'm getting up a little earlier than normal. So.
That a babe. They pay us. It helps.
I got to say, I think that you got to give a player a lot of props for winning a championship on two completely different teams. I would say that Shaq and LeBron are, you know, you could make an argument that they could be among the better players than even those players that were on the same unit, if you will, for a long streak. How many championships would the Lakers have won if Shaq didn't move?
Oh, well, they won 2000, 2001, and 2002. I firmly believe if Shaquille O'Neal played his entire career with L.A., if you told me they would have won six championships, I would probably believe you.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying the difference is like when you look at Michael and Scottie were together for all six.
Exactly.
But you know, Shaq and LeBron have done it on different teams. That's what you're
Absolutely.
Saying. Okay.
And I think it's more. And I'm not an athlete like you, but.
Thank you.
Not either anymore.
Well, you know what I mean.
It doesn't count.
But I would say when you talk about somebody going to a completely different culture, I don't care who the players are, you're talking also management, coaching, styles, all of these things. If you take all those things in consideration, it's pretty amazing to be able to move from one organization to another and then be the best.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. You're completely rebuilding.
Yep.
And that's something that Kobe and Michael Jordan – both were able to do. Kobe and Michael Jordan stuck with the same team the entire time. Through their run, obviously, Michael went on to play for Washington, but stuck with the same team. I see his point, and I think it's a valid point. Matt George disagrees. Matt, you don't think it's more impressive?
When you're LeBron James to go and join Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami, and then anywhere LeBron James goes, he gets people to follow him because he's LeBron James? No, he can go to whatever team he wants, and they're immediately a contender. Whatever team he's on has nothing to do with it.
Whatever team he's on has nothing to do with him being a contender? You just said two things that don't make sense. You said anywhere he goes, he gets Bosh and Wade, or he gets Love and Irving to follow him, and then you said... But they're a contender no matter who he's on the team
exactly.
with.
Exactly. So why is it more impressive for him to go to different teams if people are just going to go? Like, how is that more impressive?
You have an acclimation, and we've seen that before. We've seen those acclimations. We saw it in Miami. Remember, Miami was the super team, and they were going to kill it. And they went to the finals that first year, but they didn't win it till the second year. You have to get used to that. It's the same thing. Remember the Lakers when they had Kobe and Ron Artest and Steve Nash. And
so you're going to penalize Kobe and Jordan in the argument because they stuck with their franchises?
Not penalize.
Giving LeBron the edge over them because he went to another team.
We never saw Michael Jordan. We never saw him move to another team and be a part of a championship team. Somewhere we never saw that.
So now, then I suppose Durant deserves a nod and applause because he moved and won with another team.
Yeah,
right?
Well, absolutely, because he won all those titles in Oklahoma City. Wait, he didn't win any of them, and he didn't win a title until he moved to Golden State. That's a completely different story.
It's crazy because we're talking about, you know, Shaq and Kobe, Michael and Scotty, LeBron and, you know, Wade or Kyrie. But even going back, I mean, what about the teams with, you know, Magic and Kareem and Larry? You know what I'm saying?
Magic and Kareem and James Worthy and Michael Cooper.
Yeah,
and,
but then also the Celtics teams with
Larry Bird and Danny Ainge and Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale. You're right. I mean, that's why it's so hard. And that's why LeBron James is going to be a tough guy to grade, man. LeBron might be the toughest dude of all the potential greatests to grade. Because on one hand, he's been to seven straight NBA finals. That's insane.
Nobody else has ever done that, by the way.
And seven or eight straight, because I thought he was 3-5. Is he 3-4? Oh, he's 3-5. Either way, he's been to a bunch
straight.
Was it
seven going into this year?
Might have been. But yet he's
again,
he also,
and nobody has ever done
that. No, but he also has 5 finals losses.
Yeah.
And that has to factor in, right? And here's the other thing. The way things are going right now, unless something dramatically changes, LeBron James has won his last NBA finals. Unless something dramatically
changes. This is crazy that you say that, actually.
Really?
Because, yeah, I agree. Like, I don't know if he's going to win another one in Cleveland this year.
Uh-uh.
Probably not. No. Odds are against it. However, he's a free agent in 2018.
He is.
And God only knows where he's going to go.
That's why it has to dramatically change. Now, here's the thing. Now, if LeBron is a free agent and he leaves and joins, let's say by then the Lakers are up and coming, and they add in LeBron and Russell Westbrook. I mean, you name it, whatever. They add, well, now all of a sudden you're looking at everything you threw at Kevin Durant, you have to throw at LeBron James. Everything. And some people would say you already have to throw that at LeBron James. The same stuff Kevin Durant got, that they both left to form super teams. But I don't think, again, unless he goes and gets himself another super team or somehow Cleveland finds a way, I don't think... I think he's done. I think that's it. I think this is...
So here's the thing, though, and I think it was Matt that brought up this point. Players go to play with LeBron, right? Except for Kyrie, who obviously doesn't want to. But the whole team banana boat conversation, mm-hmm. Chris Paul, LeBron, Carmelo, and Dwayne Wade, if they got together in 2018, could that team beat the Warriors as the Warriors are constructed right now?
No. Part of the
reason that I maybe agree with you is age alone. Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwayne Wade are like a couple years away from collecting AARP. Like, seriously, being a member of the AARP.
Two of those three have done nothing in their careers in terms of championships either.
Yeah, but it's like if they were all together on a roster.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. I don't know that that's the case.
Here's the thing. And I've asked this before. This is how crazy it is. And by the way, the banana boat thing is funny. I find it funny the banana boat thing's being thrown out there. Carmelo Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong, he wasn't on the banana boat. It was LeBron, it was Dwayne Wade, and it was Chris Paul. I don't think Carmelo was ever on the banana boat. I know they're friends. I get the point. I don't think Carmelo was on the banana boat.
I don't know if he was. It's happened a couple years. Maybe not the first year.
He might have been on a boat. I don't think he was on the banana boat. Here's what I'll leave you with before we go to break. I'm not entirely sure. We'll never know the answer here, but you're talking about, well, could LeBron, if he did this and that, could they beat the Warriors as they're currently constructed? I'm not sure you could pick a team in the NBA that could beat the Warriors as currently constructed.
Like if you drafted a team of all the players you wanted?
The entire rest of the NBA.
Really?
The entire rest of the NBA. Maybe if they all stuck together for 2, 3, 4 years. but I'm not entirely sure you could pick a team, handpick a team, put them against the Warriors next year in a 7-game series, and they'd beat them. I know that's outlandish, and that's a hot take. I'm not saying for sure. I'm saying that's an interesting.
This just in, Carmichael Dave switches his fandom from the Lakers to the Warriors.
Here's the thing. Construct a team. You construct a team for us at 339-1140 or 44-1140. You construct a starting five that you would bet your house and your kids' college fund that would beat the Warriors in a 7-game series next year if both sides were healthy. We'll take a break when we get back. Happy birthday, Tom Brady. And something happened in baseball last night that very few people noticed. That is one of the most rare things to happen in baseball. We'll tell you what next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, Matt George for a limited time only behind the glass. And you're so fancy the last few days.
So fancy.
So fancy. You're coming in like dress pants and like button up shirts. You're combing your hair. I didn't even know that your hair was a style.
That I owned a comb?
No, I mean, I just thought your hair was your hair. Like, then I realized that with what product and a comb?
I can actually look presentable.
Oh, you always look presentable, Matt.
Backpedal.
We asked the question.
I have no room to talk, by the way.
Before break, if you had to put together a 5-person team using everything but Warriors, current players that you'd bet your life would beat Golden State in a 7-game series.
My life or my house?
No, let's say your life, because I want to try to get people. The point of the argument is I'm trying to make is there very well could be a team. There very well could be. But I'm trying to illustrate how good I think the Warriors are.
Yeah.
That is there a team that you would that you would feel comfortable putting your life on the line for this? Like, you're that sure?
So there's a couple different things on Twitter. Let's see. This Mello. I don't know that that's his
name.
Okay,
dead.
Well, you're already, you're already
no,
dead.
No, Mello is his name, not Carmelo. He says Kyrie, Russell, Kawhi, LeBron, and DeAndre Jordan. The one that is like the asterisk for me is DeAndre Jordan. I don't know that he's the one.
Kawhi and Russell in the backcourt?
I kind of like this one, though. Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, LeBron, and Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think people are putting together a lot of really awesome statistical players.
What about Joel Embiid with LeBron? I think the Philly factor.
Maybe for game one.
I mean, yeah, the point there is that we don't know if Joel Embiid is ever going to play even half a season.
Leon in the 209. Leon, wrong parameters. He says Shaq, Jordan, LeBron, LeVar, and LaMelo. I gotcha.
How about just five LeVars?
A lot
LeVars?
Of people have the same four, and then the center is the one that's being, you know, Westbrook, Harden, James, Kawhi, and then Gobert is a suggestion.
I have the same four.
Gobert's in a lot. Here's one that's interesting to me from the 530. Conley, McCollum, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, and Rudy Gobert.
Oh, McCollum?
No.
I don't think so either, no. but let me tell you something. I think that guy's on the right track more than a lot of people. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think that team wins it. But I think I understand what he's thinking. He's got Conley. He's thinking defense. He's thinking ball distribution. And then he's also thinking scoring and execution. And I think that's the second cousin to the type of team that would be able to do it. Not Harden and Westbrook and the best player at every position that may not play necessarily well together.
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking of a team that can
what
compete.
What about Porzingis?
No.
No?
Who's your team?
My team is Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, LeBron, and Anthony Davis.
See, that's the
Anthony
thing.
Anthony Davis.
I think you're falling into that trap.
Why?
You're putting Westbrook and Harden in the same backcourt?
They played together before.
Westbrook and, yeah, they did.
They were very successful.
They were.
When Harden was younger.
When Harden was coming off the bench and they had Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but that's
Harden. And
he
got
today.
Traded.
That's the thing.
Who's playing defense on that backcourt? Who's checking Curry?
Russell Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook's checking
He's
Curry.
He's capable of playing physical defense.
James,
we've seen it before.
And James Harden's checking Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson's their number two or number three scoring option on that team, so I'd rather have him open than the other two.
Okay, however, Klay Thompson's their number three scoring option on that team normally. That series happens, Klay Thompson might be their number one scoring option on that team.
Okay.
You're matching
then
what?
Then you're doing a good job.
You're matching what? Kawhi and Kevin Durant?
Kawhi and Durant. LeBron is going up against Draymond Green.
Okay.
Harden's on Klay because, I mean, that's the biggest defensive liability you can have. And then Russell Westbrook's on Steph Curry because Russell can blow by and physically dominate Steph Curry.
Oh, I think they would just take turns just blowing by each other. I think Russ and
I don't
Steph
think you give Russ enough. When Russ wants to play defense, he can play really physical defense.
Well, the thing that he does have on his side, he's very quick, and he's got the size and the length.
And Anthony Davis is the caveat.
You don't have any qualms about Westbrook and Harden sharing the backcourt and distributing and
not
playing together?
Not at
all.
I think
you know what? We'll see here. We'll see this year because it doesn't make sense to me that you can have Chris Paul and James Harden sharing
James
the
Harden's
backcourt.
Been a point guard for 1 year,
right?
though. Like, he's capable
of
playing
LeBron?
Shooting guard.
LeBron's a point guard every year.
I'm not saying he's not capable of playing shooting guard.
Russell Westbrook, if Russell Westbrook's bringing the ball up the floor every single time and James Harden's playing off the ball, you are just fine. James Harden is very capable of playing on the ball. He did it really well last year, but everybody forgets through college and for all of his career until last year, he was a two. He's capable of being a very effective two.
This is where I think this conversation gets a little convoluted because we're going by position. Can we at least concede the fact that the NBA is traditional positions are becoming less and less meaningful?
Positionless basketball. He called it years ago, but he gives him crap for everything else.
So
he called
did
that
everybody
one.
Else.
I don't think everyone.
Yeah, a lot of people
did. Why did he get so much crap for saying that?
Because it was Vivek. Because it's a non-basketball person coming
everybody
in
else
and
called
saying
it,
things.
But he got crap for it.
I'm not saying it's fair.
Was this before or after the cherry-picking thing?
This was before. Four,
you stop
I believe.
With that nonsense.
From the 916, you put LeBron on San Antonio, they beat Golden State right now.
I disagree 100%.
Nope.
I think one of the things that is, and again, this isn't a conversation anyone's going to win. And one of the things, if there's an overall point I think I'd love to see come out of this, is that I don't know that the Warriors are the most supremely talented team. I mean, they have a ton of talent. They really do. But I think what makes them special is that they truly are willing to share the ball. They truly are willing. The fact that Klay Thompson basically, like you said, Matt, he became a third scoring option and a defensive stopper.
Yep.
That's not who we thought Klay Thompson was a couple of years ago. Draymond Green's a guy that's perfectly happy getting 7-7-7. Steph Curry allowed Kevin Durant to come in and basically take over the team.
So what you're saying is what makes Golden State great isn't that they have the best roster from top to bottom. It's that they play the best as a team because they're willing to give up certain.
We're on the same page. I think that they have the best roster start to finish in the NBA. I don't want to discount the immense amount of talent on that team. That you have the, you know, two-time defending MVP in Steph Curry, and then you bring in Kevin Durant as the second best player.
Defensive player of the
year. Still have the most talented team.
You have a multiple-time MVP. But, multiple MVPs on your team.
But what discounts, or what I think gets discounted, is it's not just the collection of talent, it's the way that talent chooses to play together.
Is it at all... One of the big things we talked about during the finals was the future of Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
That is something that, and I don't know that we should be hearing about it yet, but is that still in your mind?
Yeah.
That
I mean, we're in the off season. So
yeah, but we're very quickly approaching training camp.
It's interesting. Matt, what were you going to say?
I was going to say the Warriors are at their best when they lock down your number one guy defensively and then they score an abundance of points on you in very, very little time. That's how they've always built their leads, is really quick in transition. The team I put together, I think, counters that because there's too many guys for you to shut down. We've seen Cleveland was at their best. They won that series last year because they were able to have solid contribution from all three of their guys that the Warriors were not able to handle. And then... If you can,
but defensively, as a team, now they have two really tremendous defenders. You can even say three if you throw in Andre Iguodala. But between Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, they can guard multiple positions, and they're very, very good at it. But the difference, what people don't realize about Golden State, they are a tremendous team, defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been one of the best for the last few years. But offensively, they're so dominant that gets overlooked so often. So I don't think you have a great roster that you put together for a starting five that could play with them. But I'm saying don't forget about the fact that as a team, defensively, they dominate people.
Right, but all five on this list are capable of taking over a game offensively, and I don't think the Warriors can stop all five in one game, let alone four.
Warriors last year, the number one rated defensive team.
The year before
that,
NBA. I think they were too.
We'll take a break when we get back. We'll pay that off. Something happened in baseball yesterday that just does not happen that often, except it's happened a couple times this year. 87 times in baseball history this has happened, and I don't even think the announcers noticed what the hell was going on. Happy birthday to Tom Brady and MLS news on expansion coming out of Chicago. We'll do that in 3 minutes at Sports 1140 KHDK.